Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. If you've ever wanted to rekindle romance, this is the podcast for you.
Great intro.
Let me say that a little slower. This is the podcast for you. Does that work? We are talking about rekindling romance, and I'm pumped. I'm pumped to talk about this because we're gonna look back at a few podcasts we did about a year ago, and we're going to pull some content from there, and we're going to jump into some practical ways and actually three things that we can practically do to make sure that romantic flame never goes out. And if it has gone out, we can get it back. It's easy enough, right, Tor?
Yeah, I like three-step processes.
You like that? Yeah. I think you and I specialize in that. Mm-hmm. I've actually heard people say they thank you for the three-step processes. So we'll try to keep coming up with those things. Okay, now, before we do, let me play a song for you. And I pride myself in finding great songs for you. And this one literally just popped into my head, and I thought, yeah, that's perfect.
I'm going to give you guys a wild guess. What?
Genre?
Yeah.
Everybody already knows it's either country or 80s. Uh-huh. So it's 80s. We're looking at...
great 80s song.
Yeah, Jefferson Starship, which they go just by Starship, which, man, they're so good. And they have a song, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. And I'm going to play the chorus because everybody who's in their 40s... and even their 50s remembers this, and they love it. And now all these young teenage kids nowadays, they wish they grew up in the 80s.
I know, that's true.
They're dressing like the 80s. Mm. They're watching 80s movies.
They're such wannabe 80s.
I know. They listen to 80s music. So here we go, Jefferson Starship. You can thank me later. That's classic. That's like really, really, really good music.
So you remember listening to that growing up?
Heck yeah. I remember when these songs came out, girl.
Yeah, I definitely don't.
Man, when those songs came out back in the 80s, we used to have to listen to the radio station. Like, I was in Dallas, Texas, and I forget what it was. I think it was 95.1 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to listen to the radio station to hear the song you really wanted to hear. And if you loved it, then you would go to the music store and buy a tape, right? But if you didn't want to go buy the tape, you had to wait until the song came on and you had to have your tape recorder ready.
Yeah, so
you could record it. Pressed both buttons and record it. Yeah.
Would you like send in a dedication or like a request?
I never did that. Did you send that to some dude?
No.
I think you just walked into that one.
No, but I remember me and my friends requesting songs so we could record it.
Oh, yeah. All requests and dedication. You had the top nine at nine. Man, mm-hmm. That was good stuff. And then the best of the best of the best was on Sunday mornings. Casey Kasem counting them down. Casey's top 100 songs in the world. And then he would give you little like history and background of the songs and the mm-hmm. artist. And what I never knew, though, was Casey Kasem, his voice was the voice of Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you find that out?
I just have my ways.
Wow, that's some good information.
So anyway, okay, 80s music aside, now let's talk about rekindling romance. Last summer, we did a podcast on the three building blocks of romantic love. So I think we did it in June of 23. The three building blocks of romantic love, let's visit that for a second. Passion, intimacy, and commitment. Mm. Those are the three building blocks of romantic love. You need passion, you need intimacy, and you need commitment. And you know what I realized, Tor, as I was looking at this? The acronym for that is PIC, P-I-C. Hmm. So take a pick. There you go.
I like it.
So passion, intimacy, commitment. Now passion, we talked about the importance of unlocking the five senses. Like that's all cool, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you could be romantic. Just unlock the five senses or at least one of them. It's really good.
I love it.
We're going to get even more specific than that. But then you've got intimacy. Intimacy is to be fully known and fully accepted. So you cannot have any romance in your relationship if there's not full disclosure on your part or full acceptance on your part. Mm. And the same is true on your spouse's part. They need to fully disclose themselves to you, and then you need to fully accept them, and then vice versa. You fully disclose yourself to them and they fully accept you. That's intimacy. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, then you can't truly experience romance the way that God intended romance to be experienced, which draws you closer together. Okay. So you got passion, you got intimacy, and then you have commitment. Do you remember the two questions that we're all asking subconsciously? Can I trust you? And will you always be there for me? Can I trust you? Will you be there for me? That's what commitment. Commitment is, I will be there for you, period. It doesn't matter what happens. Like, I'm always going to be there for you. Now, when you've got passion, when you've got intimacy, you got commitment, you have the building blocks of romance. Okay. And then a few weeks ago, let's move on to another podcast. We talked about two questions that help unlock a romantic mindset. Mm-hmm. And what were those two questions, Tor?
How does my spouse feel right now? And what can I do to make them feel taken care of?
And those two questions can literally change your relationship. Mm. So let's ask yourself the question right now as you're driving home or as you're listening to this. You can press pause and then just think, how does my spouse feel right now? Like, just think, you know, back in the days when I was gone at the office all the time, I'd be driving home and every now and then I'd have that thought like, man, I know that Tori got her butt kicked today. You know, like, our kids are all under the age of 6 and I know it was hectic. So she's probably feeling a little stressed out right now. So the last thing I want to do is come home and dump my stress on her. The one thing that I know I need to do is come in and immediately help out. She doesn't need me touchy-feely all over her and trying to have conversation with her immediately. What she needs is for me to grab those three little rugrats, pull them out in the yard. Well, by the time they were 6.
Okay, you're going back.
Yeah, I'm going back. When they were under the age of 6, we only had 3, if you remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Lindy, we had when Trey was 6.
Yes. And so the best thing that I can do is run them out in the yard and play with them. So when you're thinking about how does my spouse feel right now, and then that second question, what can I do to make them feel taken care of? It will literally guide you to do the things that make for romance. Mm,
that's really good.
And that's what we want for you. So now today, what we want to do is talk about a unique definition of romance. And then the three practical ways, there are more than 3 ways to rekindle romance, but we're going to share with you 3 that will really help you. Now, this definition comes from Jimmy Evans in Marriage on the Rock. And I love this so much. He's a pastor, older guy in his 70s, very well-respected man. And he said, romance is fulfilling an unspoken need or desire in your spouse. Mm. And I have a feeling that for most people, when they think about romance, they think that romance is like the dim lighting, little candlelight, and we're making out, or we're eating, you know, a little dinner to candlelight, and it ends up in sex or something like that. But that's a facet of romance. But what he unlocked for me when I was reading his book years ago was that romance isn't just that little emotional state right there.
Right.
It's actually your act of fulfilling an unspoken need or desire in your spouse. Mm. It's doing what your spouse wants or needs without being asked. And you notice the 3 components of this. You've got unspoken need and desire. Mm. So first, it's unspoken. If your spouse has to say it or to tell you to do it, mm-hmm. then they won't receive it as romantic. You know, it's got to be unspoken. Mm-hmm. It's, I'm driving home. What does Tori really need right now? Mm-hmm. Like, what would she need? Oh, you know what? She mentioned that we don't have any more blueberries. So before I come home, I'm going to stop and get blueberries. Well, if I do that and I come home and I give it to her, well, boom. Like, that is a romantic thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, there's probably chaos in the house and all that kind of stuff. It's not like we're going to go dance with each other or anything like that, but it is romantic. And if that becomes a habit of your life, then you have a romantic relationship. So it's unspoken. It's a need and it's a desire. So the need is something that your spouse feels that he or she must have. Mm. And you know what we get into when we start talking about needs in your spouse? We talk about the 5 love languages.
Yeah.
You know, how do you
know what your spouse needs? How do you know what their needs are? Well, there's this great quiz that you can take. It's called 5 love language quiz.
Yeah.
It's free and it's super helpful to know kind of in what order of importance each love language is to your spouse.
Yeah. What are the five love languages are words of affirmation,
quality time, acts of service.
Yep.
Physical touch.
Yep. And gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the beauty is one of my last love languages, whenever I first took the test before we got married, one of my very last ones was quality time.
Mm-hmm.
But then Tori's very first one was quality time. So then as I began to spend quality time with Tori, even sometimes sacrificially, when that wasn't my love language, what began to happen was the Lord changed me and transformed me. Now, probably my number one would be quality time.
Yeah. And it was interesting for me because at the time when we first got married and we took the test, one of your higher ones up was acts of service.
Yeah.
And that was really low on my list.
Yeah.
And now my like second one is acts of service. And so the same thing happened to me. It's like, as we began to be open to love from each other in the way that we wanted to express that love, like as I began to receive your love through acts of service, because that's how you received love.
Yeah.
So that's the way you gave love.
Yeah.
It became higher up on the list for me as I learned how to receive it. And then for you, quality time was super low, but as you began to, I think for, you know, just spending a lot of time with me, because that was something that you knew was like really important to me, it became a primary love language of your own.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really cool. So what's your spouse's love language? Meet that love language. Do it. Okay. Without them having to ask. And it's not just the love language. It's also the little things, like what I said about, you know, hey, your spouse needs something from the grocery store and they're going to go get it by the time you get home. Well, then swing by and do it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's romantic. And then the last thing is desire. So it's fulfilling an unspoken need or desire in your spouse. It's like, be really tuned in to what you know your spouse would want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would they want? It's like, after working out at CrossFit, you know, if I know Tori's shoulders are really sore, I know she would want a massage, not just a massage, an NSA massage. Got to always remember, no strings attached.
I like those.
That's what she would like. If I go over there and do that, that's a romantic move. Okay, so now doing these things is really important. So it's fulfilling an unspoken need or desire in your spouse. Now,
before you move on to the next thing, can I just say one thing about unspoken? I think one really good practice, when you don't know what your spouse wants, ask God. Like, bring the Holy Spirit in.
We have
a helper called the Holy Spirit,
mm.
and we can call on him at any time for help. He knows all things, right?
Yeah.
He loves relationship. He loves us. And he wants to be a part of our relationship. And so I know that this has been something that I've done in the last couple of weeks with my kids. I'm like, because I feel like I've really learned you well over the years. And now I'm really trying to understand my kids, like their unspoken needs and what they need most. And sometimes in the last couple of weeks, I've just been like, Lord, I don't know. Like, I'm not exactly sure what they need, but you know. And then I just feel like he's leading me in that way. Like, he's kind of showing me.
That's really good. Well, you know, doing that and spending time and listening prayer is, if you've read our book, 5 years into our relationship, that's what changed our marriage for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we would not be doing a podcast now or have books and courses and all this stuff for couples had the Lord not woke me up in a dream as I began to ask God to rekindle that fire back in my heart for Tori. And he did it.
Yeah.
If you're wondering what that is, then just get the book, sucker. Read it for yourself.
So nice.
JK. Anyway, let me give you three things that if you want to be romantic, here's how you can rekindle that romance. Okay. Number one, study. Hmm. What we're talking about is become a student of your spouse. So if you want to fulfill an unspoken need or desire of your spouse, you know what you're going to need to do? The first thing, you're going to need to study them. Don't ever stop doing that. Don't stop learning. Don't let the curiosity go.
Yeah.
Ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like, just be genuinely curious. How was your day? And Tori and I talked to you several podcasts ago about the importance of consistent conversation. And one of the things that helps couples in conversation and to talk is if you've both adopted a growth mindset.
Yeah.
Talk about what you're learning.
Yeah.
It feels good and connecting to share what you've learned with your spouse. And you need to be a student of your spouse.
Yeah, so true.
So that's number one, is to study your spouse. Become a student of your spouse. Listen, engagement doesn't end at I do. It's only supposed to be kicked into high gear at that point. Okay, so don't stop engaging your spouse once you get married. You fully engage with them, okay? So study, become a student of your spouse. Number two, servant. Be willing to serve without immediate reward. Hmm. Now, what I mean is there's no such thing as doing nice stuff without a desire for reward.
Right.
Okay. But because we're wired for reward. God made us for reward. But in marriage, we've got to make sure that we're not sitting here thinking about immediate reward. Right. Yeah. So if I go, I don't know, vacuum the floor or whatever, I know that ultimately Tori will really appreciate that. And that will be rewarded with a good relationship. But in the immediate term, she might not even know that I did it. Yeah. You know, in the immediate term, it might go overlooked. And, you know, then I do it again and it might get overlooked. Do it again, it might be overlooked. But after a period of time, when you serve your spouse and you become a servant mm-hmm. to them, God says that I will reward you.
Yeah.
Whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto me, which means that whatever you've done to the most of these, you've done it unto me. So when you love your spouse with a servant's heart, God receives that as love to him.
Yeah.
And he will reward you, and he'll reward you in your relationship.
Yeah, that's so good. And I've talked about this before in John 15, we're talking about abiding in Christ. And basically he says, if you to abide in Christ, basically by the end of that chapter, we learn that it's by loving others as he loves us, right? Like that is what abiding in Christ is. So the reward of loving your spouse is oneness with Christ.
Yeah.
Is there any greater reward than that? No, there really isn't. But that sometimes doesn't feel like an immediate reward. You don't feel it in that moment, but there's something super special about abiding in Christ.
Yeah, that is so true. And just as you abide in Christ, I'm just telling you, it's the best thing. It's the best thing that you could do. Because remember, God's not just your father. He's your father-in-law. He wants to be intimately involved in your relationship. So when you draw close to him, you really are going to be drawing close to your spouse.
Yeah.
So, and I'm telling you, as Tori and I have lived our life together, this December, it'll be 24 years of marriage together. I can tell you with complete certainty that one of the things that has helped Tori the most in relating with me from wife to husband is her pursuit of the Lord, her spending time with the Lord in the morning through prayer and reading scripture and doing the stuff that she does in her own personal relationship with the Lord. So that abiding has actually benefited me.
Yeah.
You know? And so that is very important. So now the three things that'll help you be romantic. Number one, study your spouse, become a student. Okay. Number two, be a servant. All right. But you're not going to study your spouse or be a servant if you don't have number three. And number three is sacrifice. Be willing to pay the price.
Mm.
God makes relationships difficult on purpose. Now they're not all supposed to be difficult the whole time or whatever. I mean, our relationship is very life-giving, but there's seasons where you go through difficulties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially at the beginning.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't want to go back to my first 5 years of marriage ever. Right. But when you, the essential element of love is sacrifice. Right. How did Jesus show us that he loved us? He sacrificed himself. So he was willing to lay his life down. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Apostle Paul tells us that men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, which means he sacrificed for her.
Yeah.
And the reverse is going to be true as well, that sometimes the women have to sacrifice for her husband. The essential element of love is sacrifice. It's laying your thing down for our thing. It's laying my thing down for our thing, right? It's laying your thing down for your relationship and for your spouse. And when you do that, your spouse will receive it as love. And guess what? It's very romantic.
Mm. That's really good.
So it's sacrifice. So there are the three things. Study, servant, sacrifice. Become a student of your spouse. Be willing to serve without immediate reward, and be willing to pay the price. You do that, you will recognize that romance will be rekindled in your relationship. And remember, romance is fulfilling an unspoken need or desire in your spouse. It's doing what your spouse needs or wants without being asked. And you'll do that when you're a student of your spouse, when you're willing to serve, and you have a heart of sacrifice.
It's really good.
There you go.
I like that a lot.
You got a recipe for us?
I do. So I had some day old, actually it's really more like 3 day old sourdough.
Oh yeah.
And this happens often where like you were out of town, Trey was out of town, Jake, everyone kind of had like a busy schedule this weekend and the sourdough didn't get fully eaten, which is kind of a rare thing, but it happens.
Yeah.
And so I decided, I'm like, what am I going to do with the sourdough? And I decided to make croutons with it because we love Caesar. We love a good Caesar salad.
Yeah.
And I shared a Caesar dressing recipe with you guys, which is super good. And so if you want some good, healthy sourdough croutons, go on top. Super easy. All you do is you just cut up your day old bread and you cut it into chunks. And then you just mix it with some olive oil, some Parmesan cheese, garlic powder, salt and pepper. And you just bake it at 375 for like 10 minutes. And then just kind of shuffle it around another 10 minutes, kind of trying to flip them around. And they were really good. And then another thing that I did with them, I kept seeing recipes where on a Caesar salad, they would have just bread crumbs. It wasn't like croutons. Like
big, panko kind of thing.
Yeah, it was just like panko, which is basically just, you know, bread crumbs. And so when I made Caesar dressing, or when I made Caesar salad this week, I took the bread crumbs, put them in the blender, and just made them into, not bread crumbs. I took the croutons and put them in the blender to make them into bread crumbs.
Yeah.
Put the bread crumbs on top of the Caesar. It was so good.
Banging.
Really good. It's got a really nice crunch. And I also have leftover breadcrumbs if I want to make meatballs or something like that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, trying to be resourceful with quality. The sourdough.
It was quality material. I really loved it. So that was good.
So yeah, super easy. You just take a third of a cup of olive oil, a fourth of a cup of Parm cheese, half a teaspoon of garlic powder, half a teaspoon of salt, and a fourth of a teaspoon of pepper, and then bake it at 375.
And a whole lot of love. You got yourself something really good.
That's right, babe. You do.
And that will help you rekindle romance in your relationship. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. Listen, if you really like what we do, don't forget, rate, review, subscribe. Go on our website if you haven't taken our 5-day challenge yet and enjoy it. Because what you will get is a digital copy of our book, Marriage A to Z. Of course, I release one principle every week for 30 straight weeks. So,
get on that.
It's kind of cool. Jump on it. But if you've already done it, then, you know, more power to you. Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace.